Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites thefactsite.com and Johns Hopkins Magazine. Question number one. What does singer Diana Shore share with classical composer Rossini? A. They both performed the same songs in concert. B. They were both born in Italy. C. They both are members of the Leapers. D. They both received classical voice lessons. Or E. All of the above are shared by both Diana Shore and Rossini. And question number two, true or false? February, March, and November always start on the same day of the week every year, unless it is a leap year. Is that true or is that false? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February 26th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1930 that Ted Lewis and his orchestra recorded On the Sunny Side of the Street. Today, 1930. And it was 66 years ago today, 1955, that Billboard reported that the 45 RPM single format was outselling the 78s for the first time. 1955, today.
Well, the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm. Hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head.
Casey Musgrave's Rainbow introduces our country music news. It's entitled Casey Musgrave's Trolls Ted Cruz to Raise Money for Texas Charities. The country singer is now selling Cruisin' for a Bruisin' t-shirts, with all proceeds going to Texans in need. This is written by Emily Kirkpatrick and published in Vanity Fair on the 19th of February, 2021. Casey Musgraves has turned Ted Cruz's overnight trip to Cancun amid a massive national disaster into a way to raise money for Texans in need. After facing massive public outrage, the senator was forced to return home alone from a family trip to Cancun this week, less than 24 hours after departing. Cruz said, "Whether the decision to go was tone deaf, look, it was obviously a mistake. A mistake that, thanks to Musgraves, can also do some good." The country singer jokingly tweeted on Thursday afternoon, "Makes Cruisin' for a Bruisin' tease, donates profits to Texans in need," before adding an hour later, "Link coming soon, don't run off anywhere." She then posted a link to her merch store, where fans can pre-order the charitable t-shirt with the caption, "Texas is cold, I can be cold," a play on the lyrics from her song, Slow Burn. Musgraves added, all proceeds will directly support Texans affected by the storm and also the homeless immigrants seeking shelter and food. As of Friday morning, the musician confirmed she'd already raised $50,000. Life gave us lemons, and I'm honestly just here innocently serving lemonade, Musgraves said.
Your head.
And in classical music news, we have this article titled, Vienna State Opera Offers Museum Tours as COVID Keeps Stage Empty. This is published in LaPrensaLatina.com on February 22, 2021, by the news editor. Vienna. The Vienna State Opera has shifted its focus from overtures and arias to galleries and paintings to welcome visitors as a museum, while Austrian theaters remain closed due to COVID-19 restrictions. With the health crisis keeping the curtain down on live shows for now, officials at the famed opera house have designed a free guided tour on weekends to keep visitors on the property. The management has decided that we have to be present again. We have to have an audience again, said Cesar Perez, who has been working at the opera for over 20 years. The important thing is that people remember the opera and say, I want to go back for a performance, he adds. The tours are free given that the theater receives government aid, Perez said. However, donations from visitors who must wear an FFP2 mask at all times are welcome. During the first weekend of guided visits, the opera collected nearly 4,500 euros for different projects with children and young people, according to organizers. They added that the demand has exceeded their expectations after the first trial period, which took place between 12 and 14 February 2021. With the Beach Boys singing Wipeout introduces our rap and pop music news. It's an obituary. Founding member of rap trio Fat Boys dies at 52. This is written by John Caramanica and Michael Levinson, New York Times, on the 20th of February, 2021. Prince Marky D, who as a member of the trio Fat Boys released some of the hip-hop's most commercially successful albums of the 1980s and helped speed the genre's absorption into pop culture, died Thursday in Miami. He was 52. No cause was given. In the mid-1980s, Fat Boys were among hip-hop's best-known groups. Their 1987 album, Crushin', went platinum and featured a collaboration with the Beach Boys on Wipeout that became their biggest hit, reaching number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100. That same year, the group starred in a full-length comedy called Disorderlies. Hip-hop was just beginning to become accepted into the mainstream of American pop culture, and the group's lighthearted rhymes, accessible dance routines, and winning comedic approach made them effective ambassadors on hits including Jailhouse Rap and Stick 'Em. Some of their songs were about food and played on their image as harmless heavyweights.
Fat Boys.
Wipeout with Prince, Marquis D. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled On Hold Music and the Psychology of Waiting. This is published in TalkRoute.com. Have you ever wondered why you hear music or informational messages while you're on hold? The reason is to give callers something to listen to while they're waiting, right? Well, yes, but music and messages on hold were deliberately designed based on the psychological reactions of people when they are placed on hold. In this article, we will examine how callers respond to being placed on hold and the reasons they react in a variety of ways. The mind of a customer works in interesting ways, but it works in predictable ways, too, which is why businesses are able to create hold programs that create the best environment for callers if they must wait. Here's how it works. Perceived time. One of the first reasons that a caller will become frustrated and potentially hang up the phone is if they perceive their time on hold to be excessive. Even if someone has only been holding for 2 minutes, there are key factors which make this time feel longer than it actually is. Or in the opposite case, time seems to fly. Dead air or unoccupied time makes the time seem to drag on, whereas if there is content filling this time, such as music or a spoken message, the time feels like it's going more quickly. In the same way, explained waits are more favorable to a holding caller than unexplained waits, that is, informing them that the call will be answered soon or stating a current approximate wait time. Music serves the message. Perhaps, as this song, Any Day Will Do, put together by Limo Recording Studio for Hold Music, demonstrates? The whole purpose of playing music for someone on hold was originally to give a few moments between messages for the caller to absorb the message they just heard for maximum recall later. Music serves that message, which also helping to pass the time. Not just any music will do, however. Certain types of music calm a person while on hold, and other types cause them to react negatively. Justin Warland of Time magazine discovered from a study in the Journal of Applied Social Psychology that playing recognizable pop songs produced a more positive experience for callers than elevator music or bland repeating melodies, which tends to frustrate callers. The article skips down and ends with this. Structure is the key. Just like a child learning how to interact with his fellow humans, structure is an integral element of a successful on-hold program. This works for the same reason that pop songs are popular. We feel safe and comfortable in a structured program. Predictable patterns are used according to a standardized formula that we have come to expect in mainstream music. On a hold program, callers respond the most favorably to music and messages that are produced according to a simple pattern, wherein the message is spoken slowly and clearly. To create an optimal holding program, music sections should be the same duration, and the spoken messages should also be of equal duration, which is relatively the same as the music sections. Surprisingly, the technique and format of on-hold programs has not changed much since the 1980s. The basic idea is to keep callers calm, entertained, and interested, thus preventing them from hanging up. Willie Nelson's Texas Flood introduces our pop music news. It's entitled Holy Smokes. Willie Nelson reveals why he loves Frank Sinatra and pot. This is written by Walter Scott in Parade magazine on the 19th of February, 2021. Iconic, Always on My Mind, and Crazy singer-songwriter Willie Nelson, 87, follows up 2018's Grammy-winning My Way album of standards made famous by Frank Sinatra with a second tribute to Old Blue Eyes on That's Life, February 26th. Nelson covers 11 of the crooner's classic songs, including I've Got You Under My Skin, That's Life, and In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning. Walter Scott asks, how do you put your own spin on Frank Sinatra songs? Well, first of all, Frank Sinatra is my favorite all-time singer, and I read somewhere that I was his favorite singer. So for years and years, I've been a Sinatra fan. I don't think he ever sang the same song twice the same way. He followed his own instincts. We have an image of Sinatra as this really cool cat. Is that who he is? He was exactly Sinatra. He was a guy that did what he wanted to do and did it his own way, and he proved that he knew what he was doing. We think of you as a country artist, but this is not your first album of standards. What's the appeal of doing these particular songs to you? Well, I love all kinds of songs, from Stardust to Your Cheatin' Heart. I just like all kinds of music. When you originally wanted to do an album that wasn't country, Stardust, it ended up being your best-selling album. So do you think you have an instinct even better than your record label about the kind of music that you should be doing at a particular time? I think artists know a little bit more about what they can do than a lot of people. I do think artists have an opinion that should be listened to. As much as you like Sinatra, was he your biggest influence, or since you went into country, maybe it was somebody like Hank Williams? Well, of course, yeah, Hank Williams, George Jones, Ray Price. Ray Price was one of my best friends. I played in his band for a long time. I played bass, and the funny part of it was, after I had already left and started my own band, I was talking to Ray, and I said, Ray, did you ever know I couldn't play bass? He said, yeah. You did have success as a writer before you had success as a singer. Initially, you had trouble getting a recording contract because people didn't take to your voice. Well, that had a lot to do with it, but I think it was because I liked to do things the way I felt. It might not have been exactly the way some music producer wanted me to do it, though. What comes first to you, the words or the music? Well, if I hear a line, I just write it. I wrote this song one time. It says, quote unquote, I didn't want to write another song, but I couldn't tell that to my mind. It kept throwing out words, and I had to try to make them rhyme. The music is the easiest part for me. I play guitar, so I try to write songs that I can play. Somebody once said that country music is three chords and the truth. When you're writing songs, is the truth an important aspect of it? Well, you might throw another chord in there if you want to. In addition to music, you have your own marijuana line, Willie's Reserve. Why have you always been such an advocate for pot? Well, it kept me from doing a lot of crazy things, I used to say jokingly. Kept me from killing people, and I've never killed nobody, so it's working. And now you've added coffee and tea. Well, it's a matter of choice, I guess. I don't smoke pot as much as I used to. I still smoke a little bit, but I'd rather have a vaporizer. It's easier on my lungs. Do you ever think of retiring, or is making music what makes you going? Music is what I do, and retiring is something that I don't even want to think about. Do you have a secret to a good life? Think positive. I wrote a song called Pay for the Day. You've got to do something to pay for the day. I get up, I jog a little bit, I do little workouts, and singing is good too for my lungs. That's another thing that my entire body misses during the quarantine. The fact that I can't go out and sing for 2 hours, because that's the best exercise a guy can do, because his lungs are the biggest organs in his body when he's using them. It's kind of helping everything. You've also done a little bit of acting. What was it about acting that made you want to try it? Or are you always up to try new things? I grew up wanting to be Gene Autry or Roy Rogers and all those cowboys, and I grew up thinking that I could do that. Of course, I grew up around a lot of horses and did a lot of, and still do a lot of riding. I've got a bunch of horses here that I really enjoy hanging out with, so I was raised to be a cowboy, I guess. Finally, what have you been doing during the quarantine? Well, I have a studio here in Austin, and so I've been over in the studio doing some recording. And I was in L.A. doing some recording with my sons, Lucas and Micah. We played a lot of music out there, so I've been trying to stay into it as much as I can and writing a little bit along the way.
When the dogwoods start to bloom and the crickets hum their tune, that's usually about the time that I feel most alone. But the news has all been bad, and the whole world seems so sad. I ain't had much else going on till I sat down and wrote this song.
Luke Combs, 6 feet apart. Tribute to 2020 introduces our local music news. It's entitled Time Hails Three North Carolina Natives, a Scientist, a Singer, and an Actress as Emerging Leaders. Written by Kate Murphy in the News and Observer on the 21st of February, 2021. Artists, phenoms, leaders, advocates, innovators, North Carolinians. Time Magazine has recognized three North Carolina natives, scientists Kismekia Corbett, country artist Luke Combs, and actress-model Hunter Schaefer in the second annual Time 100 Next, an expansion of the flagship Time 100 franchise. From helping develop a COVID-19 vaccine to building human connection through music and television, Time highlighted these emerging leaders from North Carolina who are shaping the future. Luke Combs, an artist connecting with artists' audiences, 30, grew up in Asheville and played his first country music show at the Parthenon Cafe in Boone while he was a student at Appalachian State University. He turned into a multi-platinum country star and recently won Best Album at the 2020 Country Music Awards. That album, called What You See Is What You Get, couldn't be more true, according to country music legend Garth Brooks.
Someday we are 6 feet apart.
So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what does singer Dinah Shore share with classical composer Rossini? A, they both performed the same songs in concert. B, they were both born in Italy. C, they are both members of the Leapers. D, they both received classical voice lessons. Or E, all of the above are shared by both Dinah Shore and Rossini. As noted in thefactsite.com, the odds of being born on February 29th are about 1 in 1,461. Those born on a leap day can be called a leaper or leapling. Dinah Shore, who died in 1994, was born on the 29th of February, as was composer Rossini, who died in 1868. Correct answer, therefore, answer C. They both are indeed known as leapers. The InFactSite.com also notes that February fluctuates between having 28 and 29 days per year. The 29th day only occurs every 4 years during leap years. The length of February was finalized when Julius Caesar remade the Roman calendar and assigned the month 28 days and 29 days. In 713 B.C., February was officially added to the Roman calendar. Over time, the length of February kept changing. At one point, it had as little as 23 days. And the answer to our second question, February, March, and November always start on the same day of the week, unless it is a leap year. Is that true or false? Well, as noted in a September 2007 article in Johns Hopkins magazine, in an ordinary year, February, March, and November all start on the same day of the week. By the way, if they start on a Sunday, then all three will have a Friday the 13th. In a leap year, January, April, and July all start on the same day of the week. If this day is Sunday, then all three of those months will have a Friday the 13th. There is, however, no way to have four Friday the 13ths in a single calendar year. As a tribute to February, we have included a couple of trivia questions above, therefore, related to this last month of summer in the southern hemisphere and this third month of winter up here in the northern hemisphere. So let's close out today's program with Willie Nelson's wish to bid adieu to stormy weather, wherever it may occur.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.
Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather. Since my gal and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time.